Amen. Well, we are enjoying an exciting journey through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching us and kind of pushing us a little bit to live upside down. And what we mean by that is Jesus is saying, hey, look, the world's messed up. The world's way of thinking is messed up. The world's way of living is messed up. The world's way of relating is messed up. I want to show you the right way. I want you to live upside down from the world and come into agreement with my kingdom. With my kingdom. As Jesus in the sermon in chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew started talking about the importance of prayer. He's been talking to us right here, right now, about the importance of living a lifestyle of prayer. It's not just some little add-on thing, but no, it's a lifestyle of prayer where we spend extended time with the Lord, like really our whole lives, every moment of every day. We started off in the Lord's Prayer and Jesus just showing us the reality that we have the privilege and been given a sacred gift of prayer to be able to have an ongoing, never-ending, continual conversation with our Abba Father, with our Heavenly Daddy. It's an amazing gift. Let's make sure that we receive it every moment of every day and live in that reality. Then we looked at Jesus' prescription on how to engage in this ongoing conversation with our Heavenly Father as we looked at the Lord's Prayer, and He gave us the how to pray. And then last week, we encountered God's clear call for the believers to pray together. Yes, we are gifted with an amazing one-on-one intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, with the God of the universe. But we're also encouraged to pray together as the body of Christ. And we saw the suddenlies that happen out of that. The miraculous, the big things, the moves of God that happen when God's people embrace praying together. Now this week we're moving into another aspect of prayer, where we're going to find out that prayer is actually a powerful tool for ministry and for evangelism. A powerful tool for ministry and evangelism. The title of today's message is Praying with Power. Praying with Power. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus gave us this prescription. Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, in other words, our Abba Father, our Heavenly Daddy, holy is your name. And then he said this. He said, pray this. Get this reality. Pray this. He said, pray this and ask your Heavenly Father for your kingdom to come. For your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus instructed us to pray for the kingdom of God to invade this broken world. How are we supposed to pray? What are we supposed to be talking? What are we supposed to be speaking? What are we supposed to be expecting? What are we supposed to be living out? Jesus says, this is how you should pray. This is how you should interact with God. This is how you should speak. This is what should be coming out of you. For the kingdom of God to come and to invade this broken world. Now we know that prayer is an awesome communication method of requesting of our Heavenly Father. In us requesting of Him for His kingdom to come and for His will to be done. But prayer is also a tool for actively bringing God's kingdom into the darkness and brokenness of this world right here and right now. It's a tool for us, the people of God, to actively bring His kingdom. Prayer. We're going to look at that. We're going to check out that amazing reality. So what does it look like to pray with power? Praying with power is essentially using prayer as a method of proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God. It's a means of bringing God's kingdom into our world and into our lives, and Jesus is our example for this. You know, we've sung this song before, and sometimes we wonder, is that really real, or is that just some guy who wrote a song where we talk about the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in me? The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in me. You can find all kinds of references to that. I have a couple right here. Romans 8. Look in Romans 8. Look in 2 Corinthians 12. I'm not giving you the verses. I'm going to make you read the whole chapter. Oh, my. Woo! Romans 8. That's a good one, man. 2 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 1. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. That amazing, powerful grace. The power of God is now in us. The people of God. The children of God. Jesus even alluded to this in the Great Commission. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. It's been given to me. And then he looks to his disciples, to his followers, to us. And he says, it's been given to me. You're in me. Now you go do this impossible, amazing thing of bringing my kingdom into this world, of changing everything.
Amen.
So Jesus is our example of this form of ministry. As he would often lead with demonstrations of God's kingdom, wouldn't he? Isn't that how Jesus ministered on this earth? Through power, through miracles, through healing. You'd see the spiritual gifts being used by Jesus when he would do ministry. This is how Jesus ministered, by bringing the kingdom of God into this broken world. And everyone was like, whoa, what is happening? Who is this? Well, this is now our calling. It's for us now. Jesus has told us that we're going to do the things he did and even greater things than these. I'm going to talk about that a little more here in just a few minutes. So Jesus has told us to minister the way that he ministered. And the early believers embraced this reality. They took Jesus at his word and they ran with it. So once again, we go to Scripture. Is God's Word going to instruct us? God's Word is going to inspire us and excite us into living this lifestyle of prayer. And specifically, as we're going to talk about this morning, this lifestyle of praying with power. So we're going to go to the book of Acts, because we want to see how did the early believers respond to Jesus' call for this lifestyle of prayer, to be ones who pray for and bring the kingdom of God. How did the early believers respond to the words of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus when he walked on this earth? So we're going to be in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I always want to start singing the song here. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. But I'm going to read instead. Acts 3, beginning in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. So these men were responding to the call to pray together. They were once again, whoop, let's go to the prayer meeting. Let's get together with the people of God. Let's pray together. Wonder what suddenly is going to happen today. Come on, let's go. Don't want to miss it. So 3 p.m, they're heading on to the prayer meeting. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Looked straight at him. I love that. I don't know why. It always jumps out at me. He looked at him. He didn't ignore him. He didn't blow him off. That same guy sitting there begging. I got to admit right now, I'm getting hit with some conviction. You know, I go into Walgreens, I go into Walmart, and there's the girls wanting to sell me Girl Scout cookies still. And I got to say no, and no, and I'm just like walking up there, I'm like, Velvet, I wish they wouldn't be here because I just don't like saying no, and I just want to ignore them and walk by them. And anyway, Peter and John, they looked straight at this man right in the eyes. They didn't ignore him. If you're a Girl Scout, I love you. And I love your cookies too. They're just a little expensive. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Let's get some eye contact here. Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, look, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. And then he said these words. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk! Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, to the prayer meeting, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Their minds were blown. This man was born broken into a broken world. His body was out of alignment. His legs were not working, and he needed God's kingdom to come. This man needed God's plans and his purposes. He needed God's dreams for his life to come to pass. In the economy of this broken world, this man's legs didn't work. That was the reality in this world, in the kingdom of this world. His legs didn't work. They were dead. But in God's kingdom, in God's higher economy, this man's legs were full of life. You know, we just prayed for chains to be broken, for God to come into people's situations just during our time of worship. And it was special. It was powerful. And we understand that when Jesus returns and walks on this earth, that he's going to bring the fullness of his kingdom. And it says in the Word of God that there will be no more death, no more hurt, no more pain, no more death. That's the kingdom of God. Things being made right, brokenness being discarded, and wholeness coming. That's God's kingdom. That's the fullness of his kingdom. And so Peter and John prayed for the kingdom of God to come in so many words. Now, they didn't pray a prayer of supplication, although prayers of supplication are a prescription that Jesus has given us, where we ask humbly for the Lord to come and to meet our need. But on this day, these men were led by the Holy Spirit to pray a different kind of prayer, to speak differently into this situation. And they prayed a prayer of declaration. They prayed a prayer of power and of authority, speaking forth God's kingdom into this man's life, into this man's legs. What did they do? They simply declared this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. We don't have anything else for you. We don't have silver or gold. We don't have any fancy words to say. We don't have a prescription. We don't understand why this is the way it is. Other than we live in a broken world, and the brokenness of this world is being manifest and shown in your life. We don't know what else to do other than to just declare this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That was it. That was it. You know, when the people of God, we talked about this last week, when they would come together to pray together, that we see the common theme is that the body of Christ would be emboldened when they'd be together. You know, the Holy Spirit would come. They'd pray 10 days before Pentecost. They were constantly praying for 10 days, a 10-day and night prayer meeting. Whew! And suddenly, the Holy Spirit came, blew the windows open, came tongues of fire, came all over those people. And one of the effects is that they were emboldened. And they went out into the streets, out of the four walls of their prayer meeting, and they went into the town with boldness, and they brought the kingdom of God. And so these Spirit-filled men, Peter and John, are walking in the boldness of who they are and the authority that they have as children of God, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And they spoke healing that day. The Holy Spirit led them to him, and they gave them the boldness and the faith to speak healing. They commanded healing, in fact, didn't they? They didn't say, oh, legs, if you want to get better and if everything works out and all the little parts all work, maybe it's going to happen. They didn't do that. The Word of God is just very clear. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they're saying, we command you, walk in Jesus' name. Now, they didn't command God. We don't command God. He is God. We are not. We don't command God. We don't tell God to jump or to move. We don't do that. But we can, like Peter and John, we can command people's legs to come into agreement and to alignment with God's kingdom, with God's plans and God's purposes. We can do that. We have the authority to do that as representatives of Jesus Christ. Not only, I would say, we don't even have the authority. We have the authority, but we also have the responsibility to be people who bring the kingdom of God. To be people who declare truth over people's lives, who declare life into people's lives. We have a responsibility. We are the salt and light. We're not to hide it under a bushel. We're to bring the light into the darkness of the world, into people's lives who need the light, and speak the light into their lives, and to bring the kingdom of God. So Peter and John, being led by the Holy Spirit, they operated in this understanding and the authority that they had as children of God, as heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus, as priestly people, as representatives of heaven. And that's who we are in Christ Jesus. We're heirs and co-heirs, representatives of heaven, been given the privilege of speaking the name of Jesus and representing Him on this earth right now. Peter and John understood that, and so they operated out of that reality. They spoke with understanding that the power of life was in their words. And so they simply yet boldly and with great faith spoke the name of Jesus, that name that's above every other name, over this man's life, over his circumstances, and the kingdom of God came. That was it. It's really quite simple, isn't it? They prayed with power, not with cockiness. Not trying to get a bunch of people to watch them, not to create some kind of sideshow that day outside of the temple. You know, come check out these guys and woo, look at the neat healing ministry they had, and they're going to go on and on and on. And no, they didn't do that. They didn't pray with arrogance. They prayed with faith and with power. And they spoke the name of Jesus into this man's life, and the kingdom of God came. The outcome of this praying with power experience reverberated. They didn't want to make a show, but when that man began to sing and dance in the temple courts and everybody realized who it was, man, it caused quite an uproar in the community. The name of Jesus was exalted. Everybody wanted to know what happened. How did this happen? And God was glorified. That town was abuzz. Do we want our town to experience that? Do we want town transformation here? Do we want to see our community come alive and be wowed by Jesus? We do, don't we? Well, let's be like Peter and John. Let's be led by the Spirit. Let's be available to bring His kingdom, and let's walk in faith. And when the Holy Spirit puts somebody on our heart or our mind to go pray for, let's go pray for them. And let's believe that God is big and that He wants to bring His kingdom into this world and into people's lives. That's God's heart. That's what Jesus did. We don't have to guess about it. We know that there's a time and a place for that supplication kind of prayer where we're asking of our Heavenly Father. Jesus told us to do that. There is a time and a place for that. There is. But there's also a time and a place for the people of God to come out of their prayer closets, to come out of the prayer meetings, out of the four walls of the church, and to declare, and to take authority, and to bring God's kingdom in power. There's a time for that. The early church understood that. That's how they lived. That's how they lived. They came together. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with God. And then the overflow affected a whole community and brought glory to God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 14. We're jumping forward. Acts 14. Here's another example of praying with power. This has to do with the Apostle Paul. They were in Lystra, and there was a man that was crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth. We're in verse 8, chapter 14. He was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul and as Paul was speaking, Paul again looked directly at him. He saw that he had faith to be healed and he called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. I want to stop there just for a moment. I want to just talk about our prayers. I want to try to simplify things a little bit, not make things more complicated about how to pray and what to pray and all this. I want us to look at these amazing men of God. Peter, John, Paul, great apostles. Look at how simple their prayer life and their ministry life was. They didn't make it complicated. Pray this. You got to know the diagnosis so you can pray about all the specifics. There's a time and a place for that if the Holy Spirit directs. But let's make sure we keep it simple. Let's start with simple. And if the Holy Spirit directs us into getting more of a laser beam on a particular thing, then we go there. But let's just start with simple. If God shows us somebody that's hurt or that's sick and He's impressed upon our hearts to go pray for them and that He wants to make them well, let's just go pray for them and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be well. Be well. Be healed." And let God be God. I like things very simple. Paul called out, "Stand up on your feet." That was it. That was his prayer. That was his declaration. "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man stood up. And he walked. A man that was lame from birth. He walked. My whole family and I have witnessed this kind of miracle, this specific kind that we've just looked at, two examples in the New Testament in Acts. We have witnessed this exact same miracle happen in a man's life. It was when we were together for a month in the villages of Ghana, Africa. We entered an all-night prayer meeting in the village of Afife, and we noticed a man was lying on a straw mat at the back of the room. He'd been brought in on a hand-drawn wooden cart, and he was lying on a straw mat. It was like a Bible story unfolding. It was unbelievable at the back of this room. He was probably about 60 years old. Looked older than that, but he was probably about 60 years old. His legs were completely atrophied. What that means is no muscle. Bones, skin literally hanging on bones. Nothing else there. Completely atrophied. The story was he hadn't walked in years. About 3 hours into this meeting that was filled with praise and with prayer, run that video. Here's what was going on in that meeting. This is actual video from that night. That's faith. Three hours into this meeting of prayer and praise and worship and people crying out and just God moving and we're just spending time with God, enjoying time with God. 3 hours into this meeting, our friend Pastor Manuel all of a sudden gets up on the microphone. "Brothers," I don't know why I'm into this, trying to anyway sound like people today. But he got on the mic and he brought everything to a halt. We're all like, "Whoa, what's happening?" He brought everything to a halt. And he asked some of the men in the church to go to the back of the room to lift up the man off of the mat and to begin to bring him forward. And he said, "I believe the Lord wants to heal you today." And at that, I'm like, "Whoa, get the video camera, baby." And so, oh my, right? Because that's a big statement. You better be hearing from the Lord when you make a statement like that. But listen to the Lord, because He's going to give you some of that kind of insight. As you spend time with Him, as you hear His voice, He's going to tell you amazing things that He wants to do. And Emmanuel on that day said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to what You're saying You want to do." And he stopped the meeting. And those men began to bring this old crippled man to the front. He had his arms around each one of these guys on either side. And they began to walk him forward. And this is what happened. Halfway to the front, which is only about 40 feet, about half of this room at most, halfway to the front. He stops the man, the crippled man stopped the two guys carrying him, and he asked them to put his legs down. And the crippled man put his feet on the ground and took a couple steps with his arms still on these guys, and then he let go. And he walked the rest of the way forward. Play that next video. The real deal. That's him! Okay, he's about to fall down now. They're bringing him a chair. Listen, this is how God works. We think it's our words and how we say something. Nobody even prayed for the man yet. Nobody even prayed anything. Nobody even said anything. Nobody even said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But God had a plan for that man's life. He had his kingdom that he wanted to bring into that man's life. And that man, obviously, like the man that we just read about with the encounter with Paul in Acts, the man had faith to receive on that night. And he's the one who stopped them and put his feet down and walked forward and was healed. Look at the next video. I mean, Emmanuel, just a second. Pause it for a moment.
Thank you, Father.
Emmanuel, you keep it running. He just does things this way. He takes things all the way. He walks the man back and forth in the room. He gets him up. And he keeps him walking back and forth.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God's kingdom came that night into that man's life. The brokenness was over. The new life had taken its place. A suddenly occurred that night in that meeting and in that man's life. It happened. Praying with power, believing. So those are some of our examples. I want to run forward here and finish up with two other points. What's our response to this? In his book, Power Evangelism, John Wimber reminds us that, quote, we cannot successfully live the Christian life in our own strength. How many of you know that? We can't live it in our own strength. The Father has sent the Holy Spirit to empower us. We are commanded in Scripture to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so our response to this kind of call to live this way and to pray this way, to speak this way, to be people who bring the kingdom of God, our response begins with a willingness to allow the Holy Spirit, to allow God to fill us, to lead us, and to use us. A willingness to walk by the Spirit and not by our flesh. A willingness and desire to actually do the work of God. Not just be people who always are begging to receive, but people who want to be used by God. People that want to be the hands and feet and the light out in the world. But not just doing our own work, but doing God's work. So what is God's work? We've been talking about it. It's bringing the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, we know that part of it, a big part of the focus that we move toward and we've been drawn toward, especially in the Western church over the past probably 50, 60 years, even century, has been that we've wanted to see people saved. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to obey all I've commanded. Right? Which, that's something right there. Most people stop and they don't say, teaching them to obey all I've commanded. Whoa, wow. Okay, that's big. But in the Great Commission is the salvation of people. Bringing people into the family of God is salvation. But also in the Great Commission is the kingdom of God. Is bringing the kingdom of God into our world today. That's what the Great Commission is about. And so we bring the reality of Jesus Christ into people's lives. They become disciples. And the kingdom of God begins to show up in their life in greater and greater measure. And that's something I want to make sure we point out before I move any more forward. There's a day coming when the fullness of the kingdom will come to this earth. A new heaven and a new earth are coming down. And Jesus is coming down and he's establishing his kingdom. And the fullness of his kingdom will come then, at that moment. But in the meantime, God in his goodness, in his wonder, in his splendor, and in ways we don't understand yet, in his sovereignty, he begins to show his kingdom. He begins to bring pieces of his kingdom and pictures of his kingdom. Where lame people begin to walk. Where broken things are mended. And this is what we're talking about. And so we now have the privilege of continuing the ministry of Jesus Christ and being those who get to be kingdom bringers. We will not bring the fullness. That's Jesus and Jesus alone when he returns. So Jesus gave us this great commission and the mission of bringing the kingdom of God, but it's also bringing the gospel. But the gospel isn't only the understanding of eternal salvation in Christ Jesus. It begins with eternal life in Christ Jesus. But the gospel also includes the reality of this salvation beginning today and is demonstrated in all things being made new in the kingdom of God coming in real in our lives. That's the gospel also. It's not just a decision, a hand raised, come forward, and that's it. That's not the fullness of the gospel or the Great Commission. That's yet just the beginning of God's plans that he has of the fullness of his kingdom, of the fullness of new life to be experienced. George Ladd in his work, it's a theology book. It's called A Theology of the New Testament. And he states that Bible scholars agree, and this is true, I've read a lot of theology books lately, and this statement is definitely true. Bible scholars agree that, quote, the kingdom of God was the central message of Jesus. The kingdom of God. See, when Jesus stepped onto this earth, he brought God's kingdom. When Jesus walked into a room, he brought God's kingdom. And Jesus then takes it to a whole nother level and makes this exciting statement found in John 14, verse 12. And he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, that's us who believe, who are children of God. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Doing what? Bringing the kingdom of God, demonstrating the kingdom of God in power. And he will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. This is the reality. I mean, we sometimes see a disconnect between our lives and Jesus. And we say we're followers of Christ. And we go, yeah, we're going to do these things, even greater things. Then we forget, what did he do? What did he do? And we come up with a bunch of programs that we think we're supposed to do, and these are things Jesus did. But what Jesus did was he walked around, filled to the full, and he brought the kingdom of God into people's lives. He brought new life to people who needed it. He brought the light into the darkness. That's what Jesus did. And he did it in amazing ways. Sometimes through healing, powers, miracles, changing water into wine. I mean, all kinds of things Jesus would do. And he also did it with love and compassion. He would bring the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom, into people's lives. So how will we respond now to this calling to pray with power, to be kingdom bringers? First thing I want to encourage us is that this is not a burden. Being a believer is not a burden. Being a minister of the gospel, being an evangelist is not a burden. Being a servant is not a burden. It's a joy. Being in God's family is a joy. It's not a burden. This world throws a lot of heavy stuff on us and brings us down. You look at the things going on in your life right now. Where is the hurt coming from? Where is the burden coming from? Is it coming from your walk with Christ? Is it coming from His Word? Is it coming, or is it coming from the brokenness and messiness of this world? Where is it coming from? Yoke is easy. My burden is light, Jesus said. Let's remember that. That as we hear this encouragement to be the church and to be people like Peter and John and Paul and others who would bring the kingdom of God, that this is not a burden. This is a joy to be used by God. It's a privilege. It's a responsibility, but it's a joy. It's a joy. There's nothing like it. Third point, and then we're going to close. So we're praying with power. How do we get started? You know, there are many of you here in this room that are walking this out even in greater measure than I am. And I love it. I love having examples in my church family, lives that I can look at and go, wow, I need to do more of that. Did you see how that works? I mean, I know my friend Don, he's been gone 3 weeks, and I cannot let him be gone that long again because I just get like, you know, Don sick. You know what I mean? I need him back. And so he came back, and I had lunch with him Thursday, and I was just so excited. I got so pumped up again. Don does some things that are amazing. He does some wild things out there where he'll just like speak truth into people's lives and pray for people, and just he'll just do things that we think are radical. And I look at him, and I go, I love it. I want to be more like that. God, help me have that boldness to step out and do something crazy like that. Dave Caldwell sometimes says, I know, sometimes I'm dangerous. I said, I love that you're dangerous. I love it. I love it. Now both of these men are led by the Spirit. They don't bring the presence of God, the kingdom of God, or anything to harm people. They do it in love and with gentleness, but they do it. It's beautiful. How do we step out, though? How do we start this kind of life? How do we make praying with power and bringing God's kingdom just like practical? How do we start really doing this? This is just very Eric simple stuff right here. For us just to get started, but it works. Because I've implemented this in my life. It works. Pray for people. It's going to be 10 steps very quickly, but it's really one thing. Just pray for somebody. I'm talking about somebody out in the world. Somebody that you work with. Somebody that maybe waited on your table. Somebody at the checkout counter. Somebody that's pushing a cart out to their car and they just look like they're not doing well physically. Go help them. Pray for them. How can we begin to be people who bring God's kingdom? Number one, talk with them. You're going to have to write these down. I don't have them on the overhead. Talk with them. I'm going to go through them quickly. Talk with them. Talk. Did you see how Peter and John and Paul, they looked into their eyes. They made contact. They began to relate person to person. Right there. They just look at them. And the love of God would shine, I know would shine through them. And begin to touch that person. Just start talking with somebody. Look into their eyes. Get to know somebody new. Somebody that's broken. Somebody that's hurting. Somebody that can't do anything for you. Number two. After you ask them how they're doing, and I'm sure you're going to hear some issues they're having in their life. Maybe one of their children isn't doing well. Maybe they're having financial problems. Maybe their spouse is ill. Second thing you do at that point is ask them if they'd like prayer. Ask them if you can just pray for them. Pray for that specific need first. In love, pray for that need. Number three, then pray for that need in love and in faith that God is able. But then continue to pray. You don't make a spectacle of it. Don't weird them out. Don't embarrass them. Don't do that. Love them. But in kindness and gentleness, begin to pray for God's kingdom to come in power in their lives. You know, Peter and John went to pray. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And whenever I read that, I typically think, man, they must have said that loud. Because to get a lame man to walk, that had to be like, oh man, loud, right? But God's word doesn't say that. We don't have to be loud, boisterous. We're called to be gentle. People of peace, right? So begin to pray for the power of God and the kingdom of God to come in their lives. Number five, be led by the Holy Spirit, as He may give you specific understanding of what to pray. Words of knowledge. Specific things to pray for that person. The Holy Spirit might let you know there's a pain in their life that He has healing for. Be led by the Spirit. Number six, pray for God to encounter them and for their lives to experience the fullness of God's love. And these are not long prayers. I mean, literally, these are sentences, one or two sentences, as you're just showing God's love and speaking God's word and God's plans for their lives over them. Number seven, pray the gospel over them. They may not be a believer. In the world we live in today, good chance they're not. Pray the gospel over them. Speak the name of Jesus over their lives. Pray with gentleness and love. Number nine, pray with faith and confidence in God. And number 10, make this your daily exercise. This is how we grow. I began to work out. Chris has been pushing me. I've been a whiner. But frankly, you know what? I push some of you sometimes and you whine. So just in other ways. And the only reason I'm getting a little stronger is because I keep doing it. I keep going back. I keep going back. It's part of my week. It's part of my life. It's what I do now. Make this your daily exercise. Just part of your life. What you're doing. The early church of Acts, the believers took God at His word. They embraced a lifestyle of prayer that involved praying with power. This is just what they did. And they were expecting God's kingdom to really come. They didn't go out and throw a bunch of promises out there and just do the same thing that they did the last time and think they're going to have the same thing. No, they're led by the Spirit. They're led by confidence in God. They're led from a place of humility, but also a place of boldness and trust, because they know that God is for them and has gone before them. And they would go and they would be used by God in powerful ways. Do you want these kind of things to happen in your life? They definitely can. And they're designed to. You were created to be part of these kinds of stories. As new creations in Christ, as people in His family, this is your portion. I just want to encourage us, not guilt us into anything, but just encourage us to start looking for opportunities. To simply look at somebody in the eye, to show them the love of God, to listen to them, and then in love, minister the love of Christ. And let God take it where God wants to take it. And let God be God. And let Him bring His kingdom. Let's stand up.